What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hot! Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Not ideal. Not ideal. That's sorry music there. What are you going to do, guys? It's a sacrifice. I explained it earlier. I'll mention it again. I know people were ready for the cult there. Yeah. Damn you, YouTube. But that's the way it has to be.
That's not what you do.
No. It's good to be with you. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 FM, Real Talk Radio, and on War Chant TV. Thanks so much for watching on War Chant TV. Daryl, I saw you over there, buddy. You're right. Daryl was the first caller to the JCS when I started. This is crazy to say out loud now that it's been 21 years that I've been on the air. Yes, he mentioned Dana as my first producer. Still friends with Dana. She's doing great. And this was an interesting time. And to all you old school folks, damn Skippy, old school indeed. Appreciate you being on with us. Appreciate the new ones too here on 93.3. We'll get there. We're developing a relationship, and it begins today. You'll learn the quirks. You'll learn that I'm not insane like Alex Jones. And then you'll be like, oh, okay, well, I guess he's, yeah, no, that guy sucks. That's not me. So, you know, that's how this has to be. But kicking and screaming, you'll be all right. Let's get there. You know, when we were talking earlier about Coach Bowden, And the legacy and the outpouring of affection and the storytelling and the anecdotes and really it's neat to see. If you go online anywhere on social media in the last 48 hours, obviously what you're seeing is everybody's got a story, and that's so cool because everyone has a story. Think about what that means and why that's possible. But some of the numbers, you know, we're aware of them as Florida State fans. We're aware of what Bobby Bowden did in terms of the numbers. Listen, I want to address something here off the top of the second hour because I saw some folks online mention this. You know, it's no secret that about 02, 03, 04, I started to be critical of Coach Bowden and the product on the field. And I started to talk about how I thought, unfortunately, there were mistakes being made, whether it be a hiring or whether it be, in my mind, not getting the most out of the talent. And so I'm always going to do my job, which I'm here paid to give you an opinion, and I'm not going to not tell you how I feel. And so some people construed that as a personal disdain for Coach Bowden. That, nothing could be further from the truth, but I certainly did believe the program was moving in the wrong direction. And so I said so every day on the air, passionately, I might add. And that rubbed people the wrong way, and it still does. There are still plenty of people on here. I hate you, Jeff Cameron, you son of a... And, you know, that's all right. I love you anyhow. And I, you know, that's okay. I'm never going to win you over. That's okay. But then there are others who later came around to understanding, like, okay, well, he felt that way. He gave the opinion. Okay, I'm not here today to relitigate all of that. I said some things at times in the past that probably crossed the line, less so with him and more so with Jeff Bowden, who did a terrible job here. But, you know, I may have been at times personal. I was passionate about the product, and we weren't getting what we needed.
Wait a minute. We're not reliving that, though.
No, we're not going to.
Are we? Please.
We're not reliving
please.
That.
We don't need them to light their phones up today at Real
no, no,
Talk.
No, like, no, no. But I
so you took away Alex and? And? You're going to? Again?
No. No, but I wanted to bring it up because people brought it up. I just, it's not like I'm trying to gloss over that. I know it happened. That was a thing. We had... Our day-to-day interactions back then were a little wild, and it got intense. But that was the way I learned to view that was that was the shared passion we had for that program, which was obviously built by Bobby Bowden. My point was, you're not a victim of your own success. That was the point I was making, that you created a standard, almost an impossible standard, admittedly. One that we're talking about now when we look at these numbers, when we cite these numbers that I alluded to a moment ago. But you don't get to go backwards because that's the standard. You, Alabama fans now hold Nick Saban to an impossible standard. Clemson fans now hold Dabo Swinney to an impossible standard. That's what happens when you kick ass and take names. That's what happens when you transform a program from mattering not at all to being the most dominant program in college football on an annual basis. That's how the game is played. It's the way it works. My point today would be this, though, on that, and I want to share this. I shared it last night on War Chant TV. I've shared it on my show before, but there are some new listeners. So I should say this. Coach Bowden never ostracized me, never said I couldn't cover practice, never said I couldn't be there, never chose not to answer a question. Never, and he knew, and I'm sure, I know he didn't like a lot of what I had to say. But can you imagine a coach now doing that? I mean, they exist, but they're few and far between. And I know this. I know that over the years, since Coach Bowden left and was kind of forced to resign, I've had some run-ins with those coaches, which is fine because that comes with the game too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could imagine, you know, maybe a coach calling you out of the blue and then screaming you down. You know, maybe your phone rings and you say, ooh, it's Coach. Let me talk to Coach. And then, you know,
yeah,
there's a tirade or two.
I had a few.
That's what I could envision in
you
today's
envision
times.
That. You may have even heard a few of those that we are not allowed to play.
That's correct.
I have said this before, and this is just an aside. I would love because...
That's good to know.
There were moments over the years, and I've had the good fortune of doing... coaches interviews over the years, and a lot of time those interviews we would record on Sundays after they've had a chance to watch the film, and the coaches always wanted the opportunity to watch the film so they could react to the good, the bad, and the ugly. They could respond to criticisms. They could point out the successes. They could tell you where you're wrong. I always appreciated that too, because when you watch the game, it's impossible unless you're on the headset. You don't know everything about why a play works or doesn't work. Now, you can certainly analyze and break down film and watch closely and have an informed opinion based on what you know that play to be and why it didn't work, whether somebody missed a block, whether somebody missed an assignment, whether it was poor technique, whether it just turned out to be that you got, because you get got, by the way. The other team's on scholarship, too. Sometimes guys just whip guys across from them, and there's nothing you can do about that, and it wasn't a bad play call. Looks like a bad play call. What a bad play call. Your right guard got shoved 7 yards into the backfield. That play never had a chance to work. Unfortunately, that sounds all too familiar in the last 5 years, doesn't it, where play call looks terrible. What kind of call was that? Doesn't matter the call if your line can't block. So we would have those discussions, me and the coaches, over the years during these interviews. But I would always have to be, because they're always in a rush. All coaches are. They're very, very busy. It's now. We got to go. And so I'd hit record the second we started. And Tom has had the good fortune of hearing every interaction between me and coaches in the off the record back and forth. And some of those.
Ooh.
Some of those.
Oh, man. So in the old church that I grew up in, there was the seal of confession, right? Where you can't say anything. You know, it's like spousal privilege. I had the seal of the Sunday night conversation, because I'd be there. I'd be there listening. And my God, some of the things. I think I aged a little bit when I was listening to those conversations. And most of them were cordial. But every once in a while, and you knew when the day was going to be a pinch point. Perhaps folks over at the athletic department or fellow media colleagues would alert that, hey, it's going to be a day. Just bear down. This is going to be a Sunday night that the decibel level hits a little bit of a different stratosphere. But yeah, those are classic, man. Like, they felt surreal. They felt surreal.
Yeah, it made me miss the days of 36 consecutive bowl games from 1982 to 2018. It made me miss the days of 14 straight top five finishes from 87 to 2000. It was real easy when I got started to cover the team, because the first full year that I was, you know, in 98 it came on, but in 99 I'm covering that team in earnest for the first time. Well, that was a different deal, Tom. covered the first ever wire-to-wire national champion littered with superstars, Heisman Trophy winner, and All-Americans. What a lot of controversy. I know the Dillard stuff and all that.
Boy, by today's standards?
That's a nothing thing.
That's like the Jim Tressel tattoos. Like, really? In retrospect, right? At the time, that was the biggest deal, especially because he said the mistakes I made were unfortunate instead of just apologizing. But, I mean, now in the world of NIL and where college football is going, and we've got years to document where this is going, the Jim Tressel tattoos thing or the Dillard's thing, I mean, my God, that's not even worthy of writing about these days.
I still laugh. I got asked about it. I was on ESPN Radio yesterday to do a hit, and they said, Jeff, in retrospect, you look back at the situation with the Dillards, and I kind of had to interrupt the guy and be like, yeah, you look back at how absurd that situation was, that a guy, that a kid got a hookup from a friend at a store, and it was treated as if they had broken into the Dillards and ran with thousands of dollars worth of clothes out the door. That's not how it happened. Now, listen, you can say wrong is wrong, right is right, I got you, but the degree to which that tainted that title is virtually nil anymore when you look at it compared to the way it was presented by Sports Illustrated and others. That was fairly absurd. Fairly absurd. So I can still remember that, and I can still think back on that and laugh about it. But nonetheless, that said, I think that the numbers, again, today make you realize that you're not – this isn't going to happen again. You know, we watch right now, Tom, we watch – what Clemson's done in the ACC. And we look at what Alabama has done in their run, and they are remarkable runs, and it is a different era of college football. But there aren't really moments that we look back on now, because people forget a couple of years ago, Alabama finished eighth in the country at the end of the year rankings. So it removed them from that chance of having that run. And you're not going to see, it seems highly unlikely that you're going to see, especially in the direction that college football is moving, seems highly unlikely that you're ever going to see 14 straight top four finishes by anybody. It's crazy.
What would you have put the over-under of national championships at, let's say, if the playoff existed beginning at that streak?
For Bobby Bowden?
Yeah, how many would Florida State have had by the year 2000?
Four, I think, maybe.
Because how many times were they arguably, or sometimes inarguably, the best team in the country after having a setback in September or October?
Well, when you go back to the Southern Miss Clemson losses and then the rattling off of victories and the dominance shown in that time, I think at the end of that year they were the best team in college football. I don't know if they would have been able to make the college football playoff, but if they had, they would have been dominant, I believe, in it. Obviously, they would have won the national championship, I believe, in 97 when they lost to Florida on the road in heartbreaking fashion. They would not have in 96, by the way, have had to play Florida again, it doesn't seem, at least not in the way that the regular season ended. That's a gift that Florida received. I think about that sometimes. I think about the close calls.
The second chances that Alabama and Clemson get.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
After a setback. But they get into the field of four, and here they, I mean, the first one, Ohio State, when we were playing Oregon.
Yeah, they lost Virginia Tech that year, right?
Yeah. That's right. We were out in Texas, right? Yeah. And they came all the way back, and nobody gave them a shot. And even in the beginning of the game, that I remember we were watching that in the Rose Bowl after we had just gotten trounced. And red zone failures in the first quarter. I mean, if they bothered to score in the red zone in the first quarter of that game, they might have beat Alabama by 40. Who knows? But they ended up being the team from the four seed, a chance that Bobby Bowden never, ever got.
Yeah, I feel like you can make an argument. You can make an argument in about 91. You can certainly make an argument, as I just did, for 97. I think you can make an argument, obviously, 96, I just got done talking about. Hell, there are people who make more arguments than that, 92 as well. You could go through all of these, and you could, you know, there's just a chance. He was a little unlucky. You know, somebody brought that up today, or yesterday. It was a coach talked about how, hey, if not for some bad luck, and a couple wide rights, and those are a couple chip shots, by the way. They're going to win the national championship those years.
And then what year was the two-point conversion against Miami at the end instead of the extra point for the tie? Late 80s?
Yes, and I was at that game. Was that 87?
I mean, you still would have gotten in the playoff that year. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
you'd have a chance to rectify that issue. But the thought being, and I've heard you say this in the past, that if that game's a tie, we end up playing for and winning
the national championship
because of the Bowl Alliance and who you end up facing.
You know, it's funny. People will not agree with this, but I haven't enjoyed the current format of college football's overtime system. And only recently was I thinking, you know, I'd be all right with ties. That was uniquely college football, too. It used to anger us to no end. And everybody, you know, would talk about it being just the most unsatisfactory ending to a competition that you could possibly have.
Un-American,
yeah,
right?
There's no winner. Yeah. There's no winner. What are we doing here? But it seemed to fly along the lines of what college football had a problem with and still does to varying degrees, which is this sort of haphazard, weird way in which we decide a national champion. It was always kind of like, you know. I mean, I go back all the way to when BYU won the national championship in 84, and the writers had painted themselves into a corner. Everybody knew that team wasn't anywhere close to the best team in the country, but they kept moving them up because they remained undefeated. Then they beat this bad Michigan team, and everybody else lost around them, and they're like, what do we do now? I guess we got to make BYU the national champion. And that was ridiculous. And it was as ridiculous in a weird way as all those ties could have been. But I think back on it now, man, you could have fought for a tie and you had a chance. With a playoff system, you take that tie and run, baby.
We get the tie, we're going to win. Yeah. Premier League fans, soccer fans know all about that.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, Tom Osborne, same thing. If he had not gone for two against Miami and kicked the extra point and tied, he would have had his national championship a little sooner. It's Jeff Cameron's show on Real Talk Radio 93.3 and War Chant TV. It is great to be here. Stay with us more in a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Cameron Show brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Nick Saban spoke about the passing of Bobby Bowden, as did several coaches. I thought this was a great story. You know, if you go online today, obviously, whatever social media platforms you're on, you'll see a lot of little cool nuggets from yesteryear. I saw where Jack Nicklaus posted on Twitter and Instagram a note that Bobby Bowden sent him after he won the 86 Masters, Tom. A nice letter to Jack.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. In fact, you know, he basically not only congratulated, but told him that just think if you had listened to all the naysayers and retired the way they wanted you to, you would not have had your sixth Masters. And then he, you know, he signed it, Bobby B, and congratulated him, all that good stuff. Said, I hope you play as long as you feel well, and all. But you know, there's the letter that he sent to Nebraska to thank them after we went in and beat Nebraska in Lincoln, and he commented on how great their fans were, and he thanked them for the atmosphere and for how classy they were as his team left the field after pulling that upset, and noting that he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but in a strange way, it almost felt like they didn't mind that we beat them. They were almost appreciative that that had happened, that we had chosen to come there and play them. And, you know, that is a big part of the legacy, a huge part of the legacy, that it was anywhere, anytime, any place. And that's, you know, when I talk a lot today and the last few days about the end of an era, the days of a guy taking over a program and being almost singularly responsible from turning it from nothing into a dynasty, they're over. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah, I recall a story from a couple of years ago in which UCF was trying to schedule Florida, and Florida wanted a two-for-one, two home games against one, and UCF didn't want to do that, which is just the antithesis of what Bobby would have done, which is, we'll play you three times in a row there. We don't care.
Yeah, and you don't want to return the game. You know, we were talking about this. You know, we went up there, and Nebraska's never come here.
Right, exactly. We went there how many times? A couple?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the idea is like, so what? Okay, you know, I understand that you're a more established brand than we are, and this is the way UCF should have looked at it. You're a more established brand than we are, so when we roll into your stadium and we beat you, our prestige is only going to grow. So it doesn't matter to us. Yeah, it'll be hostile, but so what?
Yeah, yeah.
That devil may care attitude is, yeah, that marked, I mean, that's a serious point of pride for people even today. Even today, when they see other programs doing it, they're like, that's the way Bobby did it.
Yeah, but it's really hard to do. You can't get the return matchups a lot of times, too. I would say the environment of college football has changed an awful lot, and again.
Well, and everybody wants the home gate, too. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. It probably didn't matter as much in those days.
Yeah, really difficult. Hey, here's a coach that knows a little something about the history of the game and certainly what Bobby Bowden means to it. This is Nick Saban talking about Coach Bobby Bowden.
What was your relationship with him one-on-one, and did you kind of pick his brain throughout the years as a coach?
First of all, I think everybody knows this story, but I think it's still worth, you know, telling, because there's not very many people in the world that would have that kind of compassion for somebody else. When Coach Bowden was an assistant coach at West Virginia University, and I think Jim Carlin was the head coach, he kind of recruited the area that I grew up in West Virginia, which was pretty rural. And, you know, I think we had three players from my era that played at West Virginia University that were really good players and all ended up making All-American, that Coach Bowden recruited, that my dad actually coached in Pop Warner. So they knew each other much better than I knew Coach Bowden as a high school player growing up. But my first year of being a graduate assistant, when my father passed away and I was at Kent State being a graduate assistant for Don James, and one day the phone rings and it's Coach Bowden, and you know, he says, I know your father passed away, I know your mom might be struggling, if you feel like you need to come closer to home, because Morgantown was like 25 miles from where I grew up, I have a job for you here if you need to do that. So I was like, wow, this guy's the head coach of West Virginia University, and has that much compassion for my family and our situation and our circumstance and my mother. Not very many people would do something like that. So, but I think that was a reflection of what kind of person he was. I've always tried to emulate Coach Bowden in terms of the class that he represented his organization with. I seldom said a bad word about anybody. Was always very kind and upbeat to everybody that he ever met, and was always that way with me. And I would talk to him on occasion about, things that, you know, I had questioned about professionally. And there's probably not many in this profession that I have more respect for than Coach Bowden, not only as a coach, not only what he sort of accomplished on the field, but the kind of person he was, the kind of character he had, and the class that he sort of exemplified as a college football coach.
Nice story there. Nice remembrance from Nick Saban. Speaking of Nick Saban, of course, he's the head man at Alabama. Should be noted, a few years back, I think about 4 years ago, The Athletic wrote a piece called Florida State, Alabama, and a Legendary Coaching What If. If you search that in the Googles, you'll find that article written by Michael Weinreb. I remember that in 1987. I remember the rumors. The world is filled with what-ifs about great coaches who almost took other jobs. But I remember being in high school, and that rumor was discussed openly that Bobby Bowden may take over the Alabama job. And it's pretty funny because I came out of the back bedroom. My dad was watching one game, and I was watching another. I didn't like the game. Florida State wasn't on at the time. And it was the part of the afternoon where we had a disagreement about what we were going to watch. I think he was watching the Notre Dame game, and I didn't care about that. And I was watching a different game. And I decided to pull my dad's chain because he loves Bobby Bowden. And I came walking out of the back bedroom, and I said, Dad, they're saying Bowden's gone. He's going to Alabama. And my dad said, what are you talking about? Oh, he's leaving. He's leaving. I mean, he's done all he can with this program, Dad. He's going to Alabama. I mean, the man's from Alabama, Dad. Why? You can't blame him. He's like, did they say he's leaving? Did they announce that?
Oh, I can hear him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dad. It's a done deal. They didn't say officially. I gave myself an out. They didn't say it officially.
Oh, God.
But he's gone. He's gone. He's leaving. What? This year he's just going to leave? What do you mean?
You're playing with fire there.
And I let it linger.
Yeah,
I'm
sure,
like, Dad,
did.
I'm sure they'll break in any moment. You hang in there. They'll go. They'll break in. Bowden's off to Alabama. I mean, what are you going to do? What? Well, no. He can't do it. Well, he can, and he will, Dad. He's leaving. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk FM. War Chant TV. Hit the like and subscribe if you're over there watching. And come on, baby. Pound that like. Let's go.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
I just can't let that sorry bumper music play any longer than necessary. So we interrupted quick. Tom, you're going to have to be quick draw McGraw over there. I'm going to be ready to talk.
Hey, man, if you want to go with the dry intro. See, I got to choose a language there.
I was going to say, careful.
You want to go with the dry intro? We can
do
that.
Well, no, we're just going to end up writing a bunch of really good liners for the voice guy to say some funny things.
And then we can, I don't know, maybe we can compose our own music. That would be fun.
You want to hum?
Yeah.
Or whistle?
I can't whistle good enough.
The way that we do when we're sporting guys and gals, when we start talking about, you know how close we are to Redemption Thursday being a thing and football being back in earnest and when our gambling ways return to the airwaves?
So in putting all this stuff together, it just, I mean, I was scrolling around the TV the other night to have something on in the background and the Hall of Fame game was on.
You're like, damn right.
Oh my God.
Football is on.
Usually we talk about that for days, but we haven't been talking. So at least on the air.
Can I let you know that I haven't changed a bit since we last worked together?
I wouldn't expect that.
No, but let me explain how.
Oh.
Here's further indicators that I have not changed at all.
Oh, here we go.
Took the under on that bad boy.
You did?
Yeah, I took the under on that bad boy. That was 31 was the number for the Hall of Fame game. I looked at the quarterbacks that would be featured in this game, and I said, no way, no how. First game, nobody scoring nothing. These teams are going to look like garbage because they don't like the field. The key, you got to know the angles, people.
Yeah, right.
They don't like the field.
It's dangerous.
There's a dangerous field. Kickers don't like kicking on that field. Players don't like playing on that field. And you had garbage quarterbacks playing. I'm like, here we go.
It's good to know.
take the under, and it came cashing in already, baby. Gene Williams is the founder and administrator of WarChant.com. He helped put all of this together, and I'm thankful for it. I'm also thankful for our friendship and relationship that we've had now for 20-plus years, and he joins us now on the Jeff Cameron Show. Gene, good afternoon, buddy.
Good afternoon, Jeff. This is a special day, man. It's fun. It was kind of cool, you know, got in the car, turned on the old terrestrial radio to hear you and Tom, your dulcet tones out there in Tallahassee. I mean, it's great to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm thankful to you for being a part of it, and I mean that sincerely, and it's great to be on War Chant TV, and don't forget to like and subscribe, everybody. But, yeah, it's an opportunity to go back and to serve the local market and also reaching out to people outside of Tallahassee. We couldn't ask for anything more, and I'm really excited about what we're going to accomplish. And, you know, you and I yesterday, Gene, we had a chance to do a show on War Chant about Bobby Bowden, and I thought you really regaled us with a good one in that I had forgotten, and you brought me back a ways when you talked about this because – I was over there covering practice in 98, 99, 2000, and I remember the interwebs in the beginning, the early stages of the internet, and thinking, what is this nonsense? How is this guy ever going to make it? And here you were, lucky enough to have the vision, smart enough to have the vision, I should say, but Coach Bowden treated you really well, even though nobody really knew what the hell the internet was.
Yeah, and I don't think Coach Bowden ever got on the internet. I don't know. I know they were to print out a story for him. You know, and he would see it from War Chant, so he knew that, but I don't think he ever knew what the web was or how any of that stuff worked, but it didn't matter. You know, I was out there, and he didn't know, and I know there was a lot of pressure because at the time I was the outlier, and a lot of these, you know, older newspaper guys, they did not like having me out there. They fought against it. They went to sports information. They went to Bowden trying to get me out of there, and he wouldn't. You know, Bowden stood up to that. And there were times early on, man, I wasn't a journalism guy. I didn't know really what I was doing, and I screwed up a couple times. You know, but Bowden's way was, man, he would come over, he would talk to me about it in a calm voice, and, you know, he would just, you know, he'd say, hey, man, just, you know, hey, buddy, you know, you made a mistake. Just don't do it again. You know, I'm letting you out here. I'm going to trust you. And, you know, he put a lot of faith in me. And, man, that resonated to me and made me better at what I did. But, you know, also he gave me a chance. There wouldn't be War Chant. And I know a lot of other, at the time, talking to other people who were trying to start up team websites, they weren't given the access I was. And that was all thanks to Coach Bowden. So I got a lot to thank for him and letting me through all those times. And, yeah, it's some great memories back there. I got to cover him. You know, the late 90s when things were on top and some of the rougher times, but, man, he was always consistent and always class.
Were you nervous when you got called over that first time for screwing up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, you've had it too, Jeff, and you've had those conversations, but he immediately puts you at ease. You know, it's a little different. We've had
other
coaches, let's say, that were a little bit more rougher on the edges. We treat you differently.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like that, man. He treated you with respect, and he was very calm and was never raised his voice. And so, yeah, I was nervous as heck. You know, you do those interviews by the golf cart, and he's like, buddy, hang out here. We got to talk to you about something. You know, and you kind of knew
because
you pretty much knew you screwed up on something. But, yeah, he'd bring you over there. But immediately you're at ease, and you left that conversation feeling a lot better about things.
Yeah, I got the buddy hang out. I need to talk to you a couple times, and that's disconcerting. But you fast forward to other coaches that kept you around because they wanted to talk to you. And typically they didn't say, buddy, hang out, I want to talk to you. It was a little bit different in the way that they chose to talk to you and address you. So you're right. He made you feel at ease, and he gave you a second chance and a third chance. And, you know, you really realized the difference between him and other coaches. There's no easy way to segue, but I do want to ask you, Gene, as we embark on this together, and I'm now working with you at warchant.com, and already we've immersed ourselves with these practices. I'm excited about where all this is headed, and we've got a lot to document in the coming days and weeks, and we'll have more announcements. There'll be more than just this show and what you already provide on warchant.com. I'll be doing more stuff for you as well. What are you most looking forward to the upcoming season as we start to kind of bridge that gap and from the off season to where we are? Truly excited to walk back into that stadium, that first game against Notre Dame. There will be a certain air or feel to this season with the passing of Bobby Bowden, and also kind of a renewed sense of hope, given that we're all going to go back and watch live football again.
Well, I mean, that's the first thing, that we actually have football with full stadiums, and we would hope no cancellations, and we hope, again, there might be some, but I mean, if there are, it's going to be very minor compared to what we saw last year. So I think that's the first thing. It's like it feels some sense of normalcy, and, you know, with everything going on in the world, man, this is our escape for some of us. College football is it, man, and that takes up our weekends. That's what we get excited about, so it's kind of nice to have that normalcy back. And the other thing is just for Florida State fans, I mean, you have the feeling that you're back on the rise. You really know, we may be all wrong, but you got the feeling they bottomed out and they're on their way back up. It's hard to imagine them being worse than last year, and everything we see, whether it's just the players seem like they're buying in, they look bigger and stronger, they've had a year together with the staff, they don't have COVID holding them back, they had regular workouts and practices and not all the limitations. So you get the feeling this program is back on the rise. So it's a really nice feeling when you are pretty confident that, hey, things are going to be better this season. They're not going to be great. You're not going to probably be Clemson or Florida and teams like that, but, man, you're going to be competitive every Saturday. You win a few more games, and, you know, when you look at recruiting and what he's done in the transfer market, you got the feeling that things are going to keep going up and up the next couple of years. So that's a neat thing to do, whether you're a fan or you're in the media. You love to cover those teams that are on the rise. It's a little different when it's going the other direction.
Gene, I'm curious, as I jump in here, also thank you for putting this all together. You know, there were a lot of talks behind the scenes, and I wanted to ask you a question about that. If you're looking at the last, oh, I don't know, 2 to 3 months of your life, and you had to rank total time spent talking to, ... and your choices were Jeff or me, or say your lawyer or your wife, where would you rank, who did you speak to the most the last couple few months? Because there's been a lot of phone calls that had to happen to make this all come to life.
Oh my God. It's not even the phone calls, the emails, the texts, it's just everything. And there's more stuff. I mean, what's crazy is what's happened over the last several months. There's some stuff that we've just kind of scratched the surface on, and some stuff I can't even, you know, I won't be able to discuss really for a few months, and things are in the works. Let's say, and I can tell you one thing, we're going to announce it tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, bring about your show. We've got, you know, one thing I've been working on for the last almost well over a month or two is an NIL deal with a player, and we'll have the details tomorrow, but we're going to make a player accessible to the fans once a week on warchant.com, that part of that YouTube channel. And that's something, I mean, there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through to get that thing. Florida State's got to, you know, check off and everything. My attorney had to check off and everything, and a lot of hoops. We want to make sure we do it right and not get anybody in trouble, and, you know, do it in a way that's not going to ruffle the feathers of the coaches and let the player come off good and help his brand. So there's a lot behind the works for that. So there's a lot of stuff we've been working on. So I don't know if I could rank them, but I would say, yeah, unfortunately, my wife and kids, I feel bad the last few months. I definitely haven't had much time as I would like to spend with them, but they'll make it up on the back end here. I think it's going to all be good. It's going to help us. I mean, what we did like yesterday, just being able to have all this experience and all this multimedia power to be able to share with the fans, you know, all that experience and all those stories with Coach Bound. I mean, that's something that's neat that we can offer to people that I don't think too many, I mean, what other websites that cover a team have that ability to just at a moment's notice do something like that. So that really makes the whole thing neat in my mind.
I think you're right, Gene, and I'm excited about it, and I thank you as well. And thanks for joining us on the first one here as we get started anew with the Jeff Cameron Show on War Chant TV and 93.3 Real Talk Radio. I'll see you. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, buddy.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. Take care. That's Gene Williams, founder and administrator, warchant.com. I know we got to go to a break, but before we do, really quick, to his point, you feel like we bottomed out? There's no question we've bottomed out. Now, how good can they be, and how quickly can we get to a level of satisfaction? The reason I say there's no way to say anything other than we've hit rock bottom and it's time to climb back up is if you go back to last season, very quickly, in truth, you know, the Jacksonville State win, okay, and the Duke win are games that, if you'd like to, you could frankly throw out. I mean, you can't not beat Jacksonville State, given what level of football they play and where you're at. Duke had pretty much called it a day before they got here. They weren't trying anymore. They didn't score a single point the week before. They thought their season was over. They were forced by the ACC to kind of come play that game.
And yet we were still kind of worried.
We almost lost.
Yeah.
I agree. So really, you earned the win against North Carolina. That's about it. And even then, it was 31-28, and you were holding on.
That was a half.
Yeah,
we had a half.
That was a hell of a half. So the record was terrible. The
30
losses,
minutes of good football the whole season.
Yeah, the losses were devastating. 52-10, 42-26, 48-16, 41-7. I mean, you go on for days. These losses are awful. That was rock bottom, baby. So the climb begins now, and I do think they're in a better place, obviously, non-COVID season, a real off-season, all that good stuff. Jeff Cameron Show on 93.3, Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Like and subscribe. Come back, wrap it up momentarily.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
I want to make sure to thank some people here before we get into probables. That's right. We brought probables over, baby.
Yes, we did.
In the coming days, we'll be a little bit more buttoned up with the people that I always talk about this. We want you to, I think most people are this way, make sure that you are patrons and frequent the businesses that do business with us. I like to do business with people who do business with us. I like to stay local as best I possibly can. And we've had people in the mix that helped make all this happen. Orange Theory Fitness, and of course, you've heard them right from the get-go. We're going to be adding more as we go along here, but Eddie and I go way back as well. When you think about Gordo's and Bumpa's and their support, it's immeasurable. And his loyalty and friendship means a lot, just as Andy does from Orange Theory Fitness. Patrick Barano, Barano Heating and Air Conditioning, is as loyal and steady as they come. And obviously, I use their services as well. Everybody I'm mentioning here today, I do business with them. And it's because I believe in them as people, but I believe in their work.
The jams Patrick got us out of at the old place of employment, too, with the air conditioning breaking down. Yeah. He would always find time for us. And that's what he does, man. That's the way that business is built. So, absolutely.
Yeah, Barano Heating Air Conditioning. T-Spark, my man. You a little quick story here. T-Spark worked somewhere else prior to starting T-Spark, okay? And they did some work at my house, and I got to meet him and know him, and he ended up advertising with me at that other place. And I got to know his crew, many of whom came with him when he started his own business, T-Spark. And their work is exceptional. Their honesty, greatly appreciated. And their support of the Jeff Cameron Show has also been unwavering. And, you know, none of this is possible where we're able to all bring the band back together, as we've said, where we have Tom back with me and Matthew coming over with us, and, you know, Ira and Corey and I getting together to do Seminole Headlines tomorrow, and all of this. None of it is possible if you don't have supporters. You don't have advertisers that help support the show and help support the station here, and obviously the shows that we do on a daily basis. So I can't thank T-Spark enough. And then, certainly the two gentlemen that have found a way to make it work, and we just had one on the air, and Gene Williams, warchant.com, founder and administrator. And I go way back with Gene, and off and on, we've done stuff together over the years, both covering Florida State, both having a passion for it. He was an early guest on my show when he first started up, and then I really became sort of an analyst and host for him as well on Warchant. But I want to thank John Joplin today, because John here at 93.3 Real Talk Radio is also, you know, a guy that decided to take a chance and change things up. And we sat down and talked, and he was amenable to that right off the bat. He was the first guy to approach me when the station announced that they were sold, the previous station I was at. John jumped at it and made me feel wanted, made me feel like he wanted to work together. And we both had to acquiesce to things. We both had to give up something in order to do that. But it has always been where it was understood that if we could make this work, it could be a win-win. And how do we do it? It was always in good faith, the debates and the structure of what we were working on. It was always in good faith.
It was about how do we get there.
Yeah. How can we make it work? And so, you know, when you are accepted that way and you're brought in, like I was, to Real Talk Radio 93.3 and to warchant.com, and, of course, all of you, the listeners who have made it a product where people would even want to be a part of it, then, you know, you feel excited to go to work every day is what you feel. And I am excited to go to work for you guys every day. Today was central focus, hyper focus on the great Bobby Bowden, understandably, as a legend passes at the age of 91. But the show, if you're new to it and you're listening on Real Talk Radio 93.3 FM, is usually pretty varied. Yes, it does have a central theme of Florida State, certainly in football season it does in particular. But we vary out. We go into professional sports, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, you name it. It's irreverent. Most of the time I'm fairly sarcastic and or blunt and or both, and some of the side stories you'll get to know. I'm a big fan of stories that feature animals killing people. You'll learn to like that. You'll like the oddity of the show. I'm a bit of an absurdist. It will take you a little time. Take you a little bit of time, but you'll get there. All right, so probables is something we do every day as we sign off. Did I give us enough time to even do probables?
Oh, we got time.
It's brought to you by our friends at North Florida Payroll Services, locally owned for nearly 15 years, offering payroll and HR services, including full online applicant onboarding, integration into payroll. Save your company money and headaches today. Head to NorthFloridaPayroll.com. If you would, we would normally play a different bumper theme. We cannot do that today because of the stupid YouTube rules, but those rules are rules, and that's all there is to it. So I guess whatever sorry bumper you're going to play, go for it.
it's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
It's looking awful.
This is the best one we got. That's why we saved it for, you know, the segment and not the 10 seconds coming out of break.
I need to find probables on here. Why is this not even popping up, Tom? You got the probables over there?
I suppose I could pull. Are you telling me I got a pinch hit and list the probables on day one? I mean, I will if I have to.
I think you do.
Uh-oh.
I can't. But my computer is breaking down. I'm having issues.
Well,
over
I'll tell you, first of all, what's probable.
I got him. Here we go.
What is probable if the Mets are playing?
You're going to lose.
Start that pitcher in fantasy that's pitching against the Mets because they're not going to score any runs.
Reds, Indians, Castillo, and Hitchez. We've got Peralta going for the Brewers, Mills for the Cubs, White Sox, Twins, Giolito and Burrows, Yanks, Royals, Jameson Taillon. Hernandez going for Kansas City. Marlins, Padres, Thompson, and Musgrove. And that is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. I'm not going to lie. That's all right.
Yeah, that bumper can stay, can it?
That can stay. That's not terrible. First class, always free at Orange Theory Fitness. The summer of more life. Get in on it now. I'll be working out there later today. Like a beast. New members, first month free with the purchase of a heart rate monitor. That's nothing. That's no money. Let's go. Active members, you refer a friend or upgrade in August.
Like a 50-year-old beast.
Boom!
That's right.
Looking 32. August and September receive discounted membership prices for the next 3 months. Non-active members, if you have, for example, you weren't sure, you took some time off during COVID, you're like, maybe should I go back? I don't know. Maybe your account is frozen. Like, they didn't kick you out. They just kind of froze you for a little while. Sign back up or unfreeze and receive discounted membership prices for the next 3 months. 3 months? That's insane. Elite members will receive $30 off of 3 months. Premier members receive $50 off of 3 months. That's a lot of money, man. My Florida State math tells me that's $150.
Be a beast like the man across the glass
like
from
this
me.
Guy.
Yeah.
I got my schedule's all screwed up. You know what? That's okay.
It's
better than it not being.
It's not 5 o'clock right now like it would be for
it's
5:50.
Yeah, 5:50. Yeah, no, it's kind of strange. So I get to go from here and guzzle some water, take it on over to OTF, get used to the new deal. Good work, Matthew. Good work, Tom. I love both of you. It's great to be back with you. And it's good to be with all of you. If you're new, hang in there with us. Tomorrow, Seminole Headlines, Wednesday through Friday, Jeff Cameron Show. Be well. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.